Hi guys.
Hey.
Welcome back
to the Flick Chicks podcast.
We're here. That's what we can say, isn't it?
Yes, that is all we can say is that we are here. How are you, Allison?
Well, I mean literally like 40 minutes ago, I got back from Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
I've been in Colorado for work since Monday is when I left,
mm-hmm.
and I just got back today. Today's Friday. I am physically and mentally and emotionally exhausted. It's literally just been like a trip. I mean, I had a good time, don't get me wrong, and I get paid, so I really, really, really can't complain. But I had to like watch so many kids, and kids are just different than they were when I was in school. Or maybe I just went to a really, I went to a really small school.
Yeah.
So maybe the kids were just better because there weren't as many of them.
Mm-hmm.
And they hadn't learned, like, you can just basically do whatever you want because the teacher just kind of gives up when there's too many of you.
Yeah.
But these kids are all from big schools and they haven't learned that. They are like, well, eventually they'll just give up.
Yikes.
It's rough.
So you just have to keep repeating things.
Over and over. How many times do I have to tell people, nobody wants to hear your music on this 11-hour bus ride. Please use your headphones.
Oh my gosh.
Hey, we're not the only people that are in this hotel. Please stop splashing the patrons. They actually paid to go on this vacation. You all are getting this for free. So really, your happiness is of the least importance here. It's true. So, but I'm excited to talk about this movie. I was like, we have to record because I'm going to forget about this movie. Jane could have recorded an episode by herself this week.
Yeah.
But I was like, if you don't record, I'm going to have to go see this movie again before
we make an episode
because I will forget everything.
Yeah.
How are you, Jane?
I'm okay. I take the GRE tomorrow. I think it'll be fine, if not exhausting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm already exhausted from practice tests. I think I'm getting sick because I don't drink enough water. And I've just been at coffee shops and I'm poor, so I've just been drinking straight, like, regular black coffee. Not taking care of myself, so.
You should drink some water.
I have been drinking water diluted, I drink cranberry juice that's diluted by water.
That is not the equivalent of drinking water.
I just put a little bit of cranberry juice in there.
Mm-hmm. That's like in Mean Girls when she's like, I'm on an all cranberry juice diet. And he's like, this is cranberry juice cocktail. It's all sugar.
That is where I am right now.
I want to lose 3 pounds. let's see. My week, that's pretty much it. I mean, I could go into it, but we don't want to go into it.
No.
I'm tired.
We'll go into it
another time.
Also really tired, so hopefully we can remember.
Yeah, Jane and I are used to recording at like 10 in the morning.
It's like
9 o'clock at night, which I know is really not that late, but
we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. Maybe we're funnier. Maybe we're less funny.
I don't know.
Who knows?
Let us know.
we'll listen and we'll know.
Yeah, we'll see if we're funnier or not.
What movie are we doing today, Jane?
We're doing Midsommar.
It's Ari Aster's newest movie, Midsommar. Just came out. We saw it on the night it came out.
Yep.
In a pretty much sold out theater.
Mm-hmm. They had like props and stuff in front of
the
theater.
Yes, I assume you guys know, you've seen it. You're here. You know how this works. The maypole, they had the maypole out in front of, I mean, it was obviously not the actual size of the maypole in the movie.
It was a little mini one. It was cute.
It was a little baby one. It was really cute. It was so good.
We saw it at, like, the Alamo Draft House. So,
yeah.
Like, I got a boozy milkshake.
Yeah, I had one too, but it was just kind of like a milkshake.
Yeah.
That cost me $9.
We also had bottomless popcorn, though.
We did. The bottomless popcorn was good. Jane and I shared that, and then I also got an actual drink that I can't remember the name of it. It was pretty good. It was super strong,
mm-hmm.
and I was kind of, like, regretting it because, like, let me just tell you, this movie is not a movie that you want to see impaired in any way.
In any way.
You're, like, drunk? No. High? No. Nothing. It is so much.
I was on Reddit and so many people were like, I watched this movie so high and I regret it.
It you would. I literally was so glad. I was like, at some point I was like, I gotta start drinking this slower because I can like feel myself getting drunk and I don't want to be drunk for this movie. I want to be sober. I just want to watch this with my full, like full cognitive ability helping me sort this out. Yeah. Yeah. Also, we hate Regal. So
yes,
we go to the Alamo Draft House. It's our favorite theater to go to, really.
It's cheaper.
It's better.
Everything about it is better.
It is a drive for us, but it's worth it.
It is. We're going to go there to see Once Upon a Time in Hollywood as well.
Yeah, when it comes out, which tickets came on sale today.
Woo, we got to get our tickets.
We're going to buy our tickets soon so we can make sure to get good seats for that movie because we waited till the day of to buy the midsummer tickets and we ended up in the very front row, which is not that big of a deal because the Alamo Draft House does have reclining seats. So we were able to like see pretty comfortably every seat and there's good, but also
it was a lot. It was a lot.
I wish I had been farther.
I felt assaulted by this movie, like emotionally, visually.
In every way.
In every way, I felt assaulted. So yeah, I guess we should probably dive into this movie. I don't really know where to start.
So I guess one of the first things I want to talk about this movie is I kind of want to just lay it out there. This is not like Hereditary.
It's everything that Hereditary is not.
It's good. It's really
great.
Good.
It's great. Yeah.
But it's like Ari Aster, he was like, oh, you don't like my slow burn films?
You didn't like it?
Well, that's okay. We'll just give you 2.5 straight hours of nonstop go, go, go. Never going to be a moment where you can breathe. And at the end of the theater, you're going to have a headache because you've been clenching your teeth the whole time.
Yeah, I felt my entire body just ached. Yes. After I came out of the theater, just from being so tense.
Yes. I was very much... the whole time, I was, like, heavy breathing. Like, just tense. Like, could not stop watching. It's, like, from the minute it starts, like...
It's there. Okay. It's all the way.
I mean, like, the first, like, 5 minutes of the film, her sister... Killed herself.
Her sister killed herself and also murdered her parents.
Yeah.
With carbon monoxide poisoning. Not only carbon monoxide poisoning, she took hoses and dragged them through the house to kill her. Taped them in the room.
Yeah. And all this stuff. So, I mean, it's literally just like from the get go, you start. And then after, our main character...
Danny.
Essentially what happens is after that, obviously she's very upset. I think her sister's bipolar, yes. Right? So her sister's bipolar.
We don't all murder people by carbon monoxide poisoning, by the way, so you guys know.
I think her sister was a...
Her sister was a little,
You know. Severe.
Severe.
So obviously she's having an extremely difficult time coping with this, especially because her sister sent her, like... the goodbye email or whatever.
And I'm taking mom and dad with me.
Yeah, she literally like lost everything in like the night of a day. She was already kind of going through a shit relationship. And then she has a boyfriend, I believe they've been
Christian.
They've been together for 4 years.
She's very codependent on him.
Yeah. And she loves him, but you can just tell once out of the relationship, like he's tired, he doesn't like her. Mm-hmm. Which there's anything wrong with that, but Christian, as his friends advise him, should just leave. And he doesn't. He doesn't, because he's basically feels like because she has such a shit home life, he doesn't want to leave her.
Yeah.
And then when her parents and her sister die, he like definitely can't leave her.
Yeah.
So he stays with her basically out of guilt.
He's all she has.
Yeah. He stays with her out of guilt, but he doesn't love her.
No.
So he doesn't exactly treat her well. It's one of those like relationships where you can tell they're just, like, treating you shitty because they want you to break up with them. They don't want to be the ones that have to break up with you.
I've been in a relationship like that. They just want to be the world's worst boyfriend, so it's not them who has to leave.
So it's, like, not their fault, but you're like, oh, so instead of making me sad for a day or two, mm-hmm. you went ahead and emotionally traumatized me for the rest of my life. Awesome.
Cute.
Just break up with them if you don't love them.
Anyway, he's the worst.
If you want to break up with your boyfriend, take him to see this movie.
Yeah, true. True, really. And if you have a feeling that your boyfriend doesn't love you, take him to this movie and then
see how he reacts to Christian.
Yeah, yeah. I want to see how he reacts to Christian.
It's a midsummer challenge. But so yeah, that happens, and then basically the world's shittiest boyfriend, Christian,
yeah,
is like, I'm going to go to Sweden with my friends. He's an anthropology major. He's getting his doctorate. Mm-hmm. So are all of his friends. They're all anthropology majors.
She's getting her doctorate or master's in psychology.
Yes.
She's getting a degree in psychology.
And he's getting his doctorate in anthropology along with, I think, all of his friends. It might just be...
There's Mark.
Who is the black one?
Is that Mark?
No, I think Mark is the one that's dumb.
Oh, no. The one that's dumb is Josh.
The one that...
The one that got, the guy that was in We're the Millers.
Okay, so that's Josh? That's not Mark?
I don't know.
Are you sure?
Are you sure?
Feels like Mark is the one that gets... That's the Josher. Okay, there's Pell.
Pele. He's
a foreign exchange student.
He's the one from Sweden.
Yes. He's the reason they're going.
Yes.
Josh is the black one who's also definitely getting his doctorate in anthropology because he is here to write his
dissertation.
And then there's Mark, who is, I don't know if he's going to school for anthropology. I really don't remember. It's been like a week since we watched this. I don't think that
they ever talked about it, but he's...
They might have, but it's been a week.
He's a bro.
He is like the fun... He's like the comic relief.
Yeah.
And then there's two other people that we meet once we get to Sweden who are important. Like, to the friend group, I guess. The mm-hmm. outsiders. Connie and Simon.
Yes.
They're brought by Pele's brother.
Yes.
To this, like, commune.
Yeah.
So, essentially, they... are going to go to Sweden for their dissertation for the, like, midsummer ritual.
Festival, yeah.
Yeah, which only happens once every 90 years. It lasts for 9 days. Mm-hmm. So they get there a day before the ritual, before the festivities start. Maybe 2 days before, actually.
Yeah.
Because one day they don't go into the camp, the next day they go into the camp, and then the next day starts the rituals.
Yes.
So they get there 2 days before the rituals start, and essentially Danny tags along... Because she's pissed that Christian didn't tell her he was going to go to Sweden. And so then out of pity, I guess, he invites her, but he doesn't expect her to go.
Yeah, he keeps telling his friends, like, oh, I invited her, but she's not going. And I just want to, like, why is he so sure that she's not going to go? Is it because she's so depressed and anxious that he's like, oh, she's just not going
to
go?
Yeah, I think he thinks that, like, she's only wanting to go because... She's, like, trying to spite him or something.
Yeah.
For, like, not telling her. Which, by the way, what the fuck?
Yeah, I would be so mad.
Me too.
Not saying that, like, not the best decision on Danny's part, but also, I get it.
I get it, too. I'd be like, yeah, I'm going to Sweden.
Yeah, I'll go.
Like, yeah, I'll go to Sweden. Also, he's going to be there on her birthday.
Yeah, and...
Which he doesn't remember. So, anyway, they get there. They get to, like, the site or whatever, and... She talks to Pele, and she's kind of like, I don't know if I want to go. Like, I think I'm cramping everyone's style. And he's like, no, you're the one I want to go the most. Like, when I heard you were going, I was literally so excited. Like, you have to go. It's going to be great for you. And she was like, okay. So she goes. They get there. They don't go into the camp. They, like, camp out for one night outside of the camp because the camp is actually walking only. Mm-hmm. You can only walk in. I guess it's the commune, not the camp. So they camp outside the commune. The day before they have to start walking because it's getting late, and they take shrooms. So, at this point, we are introduced to the fact that this commune uses shrooms recreationally a lot.
A lot. They use shrooms all the time.
Not only do they eat them, they...
Make a tea.
And they make a tea for it for people who don't like the taste of the shrooms.
Mm-hmm.
So, Danny takes the tea. Danny has a really bad trip, basically.
Which is such good acting. That whole scene where she is freaking out.
Stressful. The whole thing is so stressful.
And she's so good.
Yeah, and she's like, she's freaking out, and she's like, just be okay, you're fine. Anyway, they find her the next day. They walk to the camp.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this literally just like gorgeous, like completely beautiful everything you would want Sweden to be, kind of camp, like flowers everywhere, all green, beautiful.
Everyone in beautiful white and embroidered dresses and tunics.
Yeah, and this is really interesting. So the costumes, all the costumes that they wore, the people in the commune, every single one of them was actual ancient white linen. Hmm. Most of them were hand embroidered, and if they weren't hand embroidered, the rest were painted by hand.
That's so crazy.
Literally, those costumes probably cost thousands of dollars.
Yeah, I mean, you got that money from Hereditary, I guess.
I know, for real. And all the, not to mention all the flowers that are used for the headdresses, everything.
It's just stunning.
It literally is. It's beautiful. So they go to their room where they set up for, it's like a big house where people sleep.
Yeah, everyone sleeps in the same house. It's like a circle and everyone has different beds, you know?
Yeah, and there's all these paintings on the wall that just depict different Swedish folklore, basically. But in this case, stuff that the commune believes in.
Mm-hmm.
So, as far as I can remember, it's just more of Christian being shitty for a little bit.
Yeah, him being the worst, him looking at other girls, him not remembering her birthday, him not remembering that they've been together for four years.
And Pelle remembers her birthday.
And Pelle is so sweet to her.
And gives her a gift. It's a drawing of her.
It's beautiful.
He tells Chris, you forgot her fucking birthday, you fucking douchebag. And he gives her a piece of cake or whatever.
Which, where did you get that? You didn't even make it.
No, he had to go fucking get it from the kitchen, probably. It was literally bunk cake.
The most cop-out thing.
Literally. Well, it's clearly he didn't remember. He goes,
"Yeah,
I thought I forgot, didn't you?
You forgot.
You forgot." And then...
I'm trying to remember what happens. It.
Oh, there's so much.
There's so much that happens. So...
what we do, I know we at some point see a tapestry.
Yes.
And this tapestry talks about an ancient love...
Ritual. Yeah.
Where a woman, she puts her period blood into a cup and makes a guy drink it. And it also has her pubes in it. Yeah. And then the guy falls in love with her.
Yes.
So.
And then that happens with, there's this scene where they all, when they eat, they all have to sit at these long tables. Mm-hmm. And then the leaders or whatever come out and they don't start eating until the leaders start eating.
Yeah.
And they all have the same foods and everything. But this one time, Christian's cup is pink while everyone else's is yellow.
Yeah, it's a blood orange almost color.
Yeah.
And
he finds a hair in his meat pie.
Yeah, and he pulls it out and he's like, is this a fucking pube? Yeah.
Yikes.
So overall, I know we meet, Josh meets their oracle. His name's Ruben.
Mm-hmm.
He is... a disabled child who
product of incest.
Yeah, specifically bred
to be an oracle.
To be an oracle from incest. He sees their holy scripture, all this stuff. So the first, the first major thing that happens that really starts, holy shit. I mean, you know it's fucked up. The thing about this movie is there's never a time that you kind of don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, you
it's
always know what's going to happen.
It's very predictable.
Yes.
You know what's going to happen.
But he meant it to be that way.
Exactly, because you can read interviews with Ari Aster. He said that this movie is not really meant to be like Hereditary, where it's you have to watch and watch and watch, and there's twists and turns and all this stuff. It's not like that. It is meant to be more of a character study of human horror and how people are pushed to do the things that they do. Especially in times of grief, especially when they're surrounded by people.
Or they have a toxic relationship.
And this movie is actually, Ari Aster kind of calls it his breakup movie.
Yeah.
Because he actually, I guess, went through a pretty severe breakup with a long-term girlfriend as he was writing this film. And so the film kind of became less of a horror film and more of a breakup film.
Yeah.
And about how that feels.
It feels like
literal,
the end of the world.
The literal most extreme that you could possibly take it. So the thing about this movie is nothing in it is didn't see that coming. Of course you saw it coming. It's very predictable. It's classic horror,
human horror.
It's human horror. And this is a folk horror movie.
Yeah, so it's very much based on isolation and nature and folklore.
Yeah.
And probably the most intense thing that we see happen is the cliff scene. Yeah, first. That's the first intense thing. That's when it
really kicks off. So basically, we have a dinner, mm-hmm. and there's these two old people that kind of lead the ritual, and then we all go to these cliffs, and the old people slice their hands, they put them on these rune stones, and then they fucking jump off the cliff.
Head first.
And they hit a stone.
And you see their heads just...
And you watch it.
You watch all of it. Every single little gory detail.
It is intense. And that was the... That, for me, was, like, the first time I was like, I'm gonna puke. Watching... Seeing the dead body of her sister was, like...
Really upsetting.
Really upsetting. But this was, like, holy shit. And when the guy jumps...
Oh, my gosh. And then, like, he doesn't die. So they just take a...
Fucking hammer
and just bash his head in.
What the fuck? Okay, I actually read that is something that used to happen.
Really?
Yeah, in Sweden, that's a thing that used to happen when people got too old to take care of themselves. It wasn't like how it is in the commune. They like
they wait until they're like 72.
Yeah, they have seasons of life. So mm-hmm. like from birth to like 16 is spring, and then 17 to 32 is summer, and that's mm-hmm. when you're supposed to like travel and like figure yourself out. Then 33 to 40 or 50 something is fall, and then
50 to 72
is winter. So they at 72, you kill yourself.
Yes, that's what happens.
So they kill, but in Sweden, that's like actually a thing that used to happen. Like people, when they got too old to take care of themselves anymore, they would like ritualistically off themselves,
like lemmings.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah, and it like that's just. I guess that's something they used to do, so that's actually real.
Folk horror, man.
I know, it's crazy how much of this stuff in this movie is actually based on real stuff.
Yeah, it's based on real folklore from Sweden.
Yeah, and the, like, I guess they spent, like, literally months researching, like, Swedish and Viking folklore and
that's
stuff like that.
That's so cool!
And the cutting of the hand thing mm-hmm. That they do beforehand, that's actually something they used to do before they'd kill themselves. They'd, like, cut their own hands. And
oh, wow.
The runes all mean stuff.
Yeah, they're real runes.
They're real runes. Also, there's an interesting... I don't know how much I believe it, but there's an interesting conspiracy theory that Danny's family was actually killed by the commune... in order to get her to come to Sweden. I don't know how... Here's the reason I don't think this would be real. That would be really circumstantial, and a lot of things would have to happen for that to work. But there is at least a lot of foreshadowing that Danny is going to be vitally important to the story, and she's going to make these ultimate like decisions.
Yes.
There's a flower crown next to her parents' bedside table when you pan to their dead bodies.
No.
Yes.
No, I just got full body fucking chills.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Danny is quite literally the midsummer age.
Mm-hmm.
So she is in the absolute perfect age that they want people to be for the midsummer festival. Her rune on her dress is like an R with like an hourglass. And basically that's like, it means something like... Someone who's going along a journey and then has an awakening.
Mm-hmm.
So it's literally the rune. I mean, not that you would fucking know this when you're watching the movie, but the runes literally like tell you exactly what's going to happen to her.
Yeah, and every character has a different individual rune on their outfit.
Yes, every single one. And when we're in the room where they all sleep, I don't know what you call it. I want to say like the barracks, but I know that's like not right.
The sleeping room.
The sleeping room. The bedroom. The bed's room. So there's like all the murals and stuff painted. There's murals of tons of different things. There's like a mural of a girl in a this is earlier in her in Christian's apartment when they're like fighting, or it might be Danny's apartment and they're fighting. There's a painting of a girl and a bear.
Yeah.
Like
she's wearing a crown and mm-hmm. she's like kissing the bear or whatever. Uh-huh. Yeah.
And later obviously we know that Christian dies in a bear suit.
They sew him into a bear suit.
Also, the whole like sex thing is foreshadowed in the paintings. There's like an old, because all the paintings I guess are based on like medieval paintings.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a painting of two people watching other people have sex.
Wow. Which there's a scene for that.
Oh my god, that scene is so, it's literally There are kind of, like, funny scenes in this movie.
Yeah, it's really funny.
But it's, like, you're never having a good time.
No.
You're laughing, but you're like, ha, 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 ha,
I uncomfortable laughed so much in that movie.
Yeah, me too. nervous laughter. The whole theater was, like, nervous laughing. Also, Mark's death, so the stupid guy, his death is foreshadowed. So Mark pisses on the ancestral tree, which really pisses off Pele's brother.
Yeah.
He gets pissed. So Pele is actually the person that also kills Josh. But he kills him wearing Mark's skin, right?
Yeah.
So Mark's been skinned. So earlier in the movie, all the kids are playing a game, and Mark asks Pele, what game are they playing? And he goes, oh, it's called Skin the Fool. And Mark says something like, oh, that's a weird name for a game or something like that. And then he's like the fool movie. He's like that classic like horror trope of like the fool, the guy who like can never take anything seriously and like fucks it up for everyone. It's really interesting. This completely follows the horror tropes, like really, like not completely, but a lot, like
really well.
The academic,
yeah, the scholar,
also the scholar is black, exactly how it is in
Cabin of the Woods. Yeah.
So there's the scholar. There's the fool. There's
the athlete. Would Christian be the athlete?
Probably, but I don't know if he really fits that. He does kind of fit the like. Dumbass jock type. Yeah.
Danny is the virgin.
Yeah, I mean, even though she's not virgin. She's the last girl.
She's the final girl, yeah.
And Connie and Mark are probably they're like the couple.
Yeah, they're the couple.
So, the couple has to die.
Oh my gosh, whenever, like, is it Mark? No, Connie and who? What's his name?
Connie and, oh fuck.
Her boyfriend, whenever he, like.
Simon.
Simon, whenever he gets, like, taken away, and then she's like, he wouldn't leave me. And then they just keep trying to cover their tracks about, like, where he went.
He went to the train station. He's going to call you. And then Connie, oh, fuck. That is so fucking scary when she's like, what the hell? Like, he wouldn't leave. We were supposed to go together.
It's so scary. Can you imagine that happening? Oh, my God.
I literally cannot imagine that.
And then, so a couple things that show, like, Danny's codependency a lot is that dream that she has where they're leaving her.
Yeah.
Where she's, like, terrified that they're just going to leave her.
Yeah.
And then, like, that comes out more. Her codependency comes out more as she gets drawn into the cult more and more.
Yeah. Well, and Pele has a talk with her at one point where he says something along the lines of, like, you know, like, you're really beautiful and, like, so smart and I'm so happy that you came. And Pele's clearly trying to, like, draw her away from Christian.
Yeah.
Even though, from what it seems like, Pele's never once been interested in Danny. It seems like... When she meets Pele in the apartment, mm-hmm. I mean, I know she's met him, but they have almost no interaction. Their interaction's so awkward.
Yeah.
Because it's so clear that they don't know each other. Like, of all the people, it seems like she knows him the least.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, when they get to the commune, he's the one that's like, you're beautiful.
You're amazing.
You're amazing. You needed to come here. It's so good for you. Please stay. I made you this present. Da, da, da.
Yeah.
Like...
Flirty fishing. It's a thing.
It is. It is a thing. I mean, the children of God do it.
The children of God do it. They, like, you know, send people out to, like, flirt with you and then draw you in.
Yeah, this whole movie exhibits symptoms of cults.
So well. I'm taking a class right now called Cults in the U.S. and, like, every single cult, like...
Trait
happens in this movie. Yeah, it's so well researched.
They prey on people who are going through hard times.
Mm-hmm.
They prey on people who don't have strong relationships, with their surrounding.
They don't have friendships.
And if they do, they try everything you can to, like, sever them,
mm-hmm.
which is a lot of times where the flirting fishing comes in. Yeah.
What he's trying to do by breaking up her and Christian.
They try to make you feel really involved. They all dress very similar. They're remote. They have a lot of mm-hmm. rules. They have a lot of rituals that,
mm-hmm.
without explanation, everything, they have a person that they look to.
Everything happens at, like, a specific time. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a time for eating. It's very controlled. Everything that happens is very controlled.
Yes. Yeah. Very weird.
Very weird. And, oh my gosh, the flowers, whenever they're on shrooms and the flowers are pulsing.
Oh my God, that is incredible.
It's amazing. Tell them what you told me about, like, the editing process.
So, They had to add that like over 60 times to get it right, because it was either like, oh, the flowers are pulsing too much and you can't pay attention to what's happening, or they're not pulsing enough. You don't even know they're pulsing because you're paying attention to the action. So they literally finished that flower thing a week before the movie came out. 1 week before we saw this movie.
They finished editing.
Which is just insanity.
And it was perfect.
It was the perfect amount of, like, you noticing it, but still being able to pay attention to the story. Not distracting.
Yeah.
I would love to go back and watch this again. I think we are going to.
I think we're going to go see it again at a local theater.
Now that they have it, but I'm really excited to watch for all the new
things that we're going to see.
All the new foreshadowing now that I know what's going to happen. Because, I mean, obviously, you know, like, these people are not coming back.
No. No.
Also, I want to talk about when they find Simon.
Is Simon...
He's the one in the chicken coop who's, like, cut open.
Oh, my
gosh. He's face down. He's cut open, and all his organs are out, and he's, like, blinded, but he's still alive. He's breathing still. So... apparently, that's a real torture technique that the Vikings used to use. Called the Bloody Eagle or Blood Eagle or something like that. And basically, what they would do is that, exactly that. It was like a ritual kind of torture. All the ways they kill these people are fucked.
Yes.
Fuzzucked.
Fuzzucked. Yeah, it's... oh my god, that whole scene...
I know. It's horrifying.
It's horrifying. Everything about this movie is horrifying. And also, something that I love about this movie is that pretty much all of it takes place in broad daylight.
Yeah, which is genius.
It's genius. And it's like almost blinding light.
And it's bright and it's colorful and it's...
it's gorgeous.
It's fun. It's like, honestly, this movie, none of the cult people...
are malicious.
Are malicious at all. You never like... I mean...
I'm never scared of them.
The only time you ever really have a scary encounter with them is when they kill someone.
Yeah.
And even then...
They view that as an honor.
Literally, yeah.
They view it as an honor to die for this ritual.
Yeah. And they really aren't freaky, nothing. Like, the whole point is, I think you're supposed to understand why Dani does what she does.
Yeah, because...
it's like, it's not right.
No, but like, imagine you're in her position and all these people are being so kind to you.
And they're literally like, they make her, I mean, I know she wins the dance or whatever, but let's be real, they probably threw it for her.
Yeah, they like, made her the May Queen.
They made her the May Queen. They make her this beautiful dress of flowers. They let her choose the last sacrifice. And of course she picks Christian. They let her find Christian having sex with...
oh, can we talk about the sex scene? Oh my god. Okay, so it went on for so long.
It literally does.
It goes on for so long.
And you're like laughing, but you're not laughing because you're like, what the hell?
I know, and then you feel so bad for Dani because you know what's gonna happen when she finds... oh my gosh. So like, okay, so Christian, the chick who like planted the period blood in his drink, is like, I wanna mate with you. And then the head chick was like, you've been approved to mate with this girl.
Mm-hmm.
Which they bring in, like, outside people to mate with the cult members.
So that it's not inbreeding.
Because they can only have one oracle.
Yeah.
So it's very controlled. Again, like, even the sex is always very controlled.
Yeah,
which is
people watch
a
it.
Sign of
and
cult.
Also, not only that, but the use of drugs in the cult.
Yes.
They use drugs for everything. They essentially use drugs to make Christian...
Have sex with her. Yeah,
He's on shrooms already. He inhales the smoke. They paralyze him afterwards. Like,
he's having a bad trip happening.
And I also think what's really interesting is the role reversal between him and Dani.
Yes.
Because when Dani first comes, she's the one who's like, I want to get out of here. I'm not comfortable with this. I hate this.
Mm-hmm.
And Christian's like, we need to stay and respect their culture. And then by the end, I think the guy who plays Christian, I'm going to look up his name. He does such a phenomenal job. His name is Jack Rayner. He does such a phenomenal job of the switch between, like, just ignorant fucking douchebag to completely terrified but, like, can't help himself. I mean, that scene where he's at dinner and he's on the shrooms, he's literally just shaking.
He is.
And you can see it. He's, like, freaking out. myself have never done shrooms, but I have read a lot of reviews that said this is, like, incredibly accurate to what this movie feels incredibly accurate to what it is like to be on shrooms.
Ari Aster did a lot of shrooms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good for you, Ari
Aster. Good for you.
Thanks for making a movie that feels like shrooms.
Yeah, so I don't have to do them. I'll just watch Midsommar.
Midsommar, if anything, made me never want to do shrooms.
No, yeah, me too.
Midsommar made me go like, okay, shrooms, maybe that's not for me ever.
But yeah, whenever they lead Christian to the building, and then there's all these naked women just like in a circle around this girl.
On a bed of flowers.
On a bed of flowers. And then like they start like they lead him in and they start having sex, and then like there's that scene where the girl like pushes his butt like so. Oh my god!
Apparently, so obviously they're not really having sex, but
he was completely naked.
Completely naked. So is she. So were all those people. Every single person in that room was actually completely naked. They actually shot that like all in one go, and they said it was like so stressful. Ari Aster said it was like the most stressful scene to shoot. Jack Rayner. Christian said it was the first nude scene he's ever done, but he said he wanted to do it because he feels like in horror, women so often have to do shit like that.
Yeah.
That he felt like it's like almost like an honor for him to have to do something like
and
that.
And he has like full frontal, like you see everything. And also, did you notice that like his penis was like chafed and bloody whenever he like came out? Oh my God.
Well, not only that, but she's a virgin.
Yeah.
So... and the like singing that they do while it happens.
Yeah.
Ooh, it is rough.
It's
rough,
bringing back memories.
And not only that, but the group empathy that this group has is weird. So after Danny finds
him having sex with the girl,
she goes back to the like bedroom and she's having a freaking panic attack. She's freaking out.
Yeah.
And she starts screaming, and all the other girls that are trying to comfort her start screaming too. And they all just scream.
Breathe together.
They breathe together and they scream into each other's face. And it's like this group bonding almost. It's like we're becoming one. Like I feel all your emotions and you're becoming like synced with the group.
Yeah.
And after that, I think she goes to sleep maybe. And when she wakes up, she's like
covered in flowers.
Covered in flowers. And not only that, but she's just, like, bathed in this, like, golden light. She's, like, completely just changed.
Yeah, completely changed from the person we saw at the beginning of the film.
Yeah, she's not... I mean, it is just... Oh, the whole movie is so, like, gut-wrenching.
It is.
It's traumatic.
It is traumatic.
I honestly think it's more traumatic than Hereditary.
I agree.
And it's like there's... I truly have no way to compare this to Hereditary because it's just a completely different film.
Yes, and they're not trying to be like each other.
No, it's so, so different. Like, a lot of criticism I've seen for this movie has been like, it was nothing like Hereditary, and I loved Hereditary, so this is why I didn't like this. But it's like, it is nothing like Hereditary, but it's not a bad thing. But it's like, if you... we're expecting that.
Then it might be disappointing, but it's just so different, and it's unlike anything I've ever seen. Even other folk horror movies, I've never seen anything.
Yeah, I've seen this compared to The Wicker Man a lot, which I haven't seen.
I have not seen it either.
But even if it is incredibly like The Wicker Man, which I believe it could be, I don't believe The Wicker Man captured the, like, essence of human horror like this.
No.
Maybe the base plot line is the same, but again, this movie, you're not really watching it for the super compelling plot, if that makes sense. You're watching it for the, like, the experience of understanding how people can be so terrible.
Yeah, and understand why people make the decisions that they make.
Because there are two reactions to the end of this movie. Either you're like, good for her. Good for her for killing Christian. Honestly, what a shit boyfriend. And then another one is like, this is so horrible. Like, how the fuck could she do that? How could she choose? How could she choose him?
Yeah.
But at the same time, you're also like, you know why she chooses him.
Yeah.
You know, first of all, she can't let him go.
No, what is he gonna do? What's gonna happen
they
if
he
has
his
to
friends.
Die? He has to die.
He has to die. He can't live. She's clearly gonna join the cult.
Yeah, she's a full-fledged cult member by the
end. She has nothing to return to. Everyone she knows is dead.
They've ingratiated themselves into her life.
She likes them. She enjoys them. She and Pele kiss.
Yeah, they like make out. It's like...
Yeah, he like kisses her. And like all this happens. And like what are they going to do? What's she going to do? Yeah, Christian, you can leave. Like they're just going to kill him probably.
Yeah.
He can't go back. He can't go back to America. And
they know that she's going to pick him too.
Exactly.
And that's why they show her... him having sex with the girl.
Exactly. That's why they let her see it.
Yeah.
And I mean, all of this to the cult, it's nothing personal.
No.
Against these people. They're all fine people. They just need 9 sacrifices and they can't afford to sacrifice 9 of their own people. Not to mention they need people to come in and have sex.
Yeah.
They need outsiders.
Yeah. And so that's, you know, Christian did what he needed to do. Yeah. He impregnated that girl.
Yabaya, I think is her name.
Yeah. And that's what they needed him for, and now he's part of the ritual.
Yeah.
And they sew him into a bear.
Which is so fucking scary.
Did that
actually... Also, he can't speak. He's, like, paralyzed.
Yeah.
Which he burns alive. He's the only one that has to die alive other than Ulf, which is Pele's brother.
Yes, and...
And another guy who...
Because they have to sacrifice chosen. Certain people from... They have to sacrifice a number of people from their group and a number of outsiders.
Yes. So... The number of people from the group's chosen by, like, a lottery, basically, like mm-hmm. a bingo game ball.
Yeah.
And so it's Ulf and another guy, and they burn alive. Mm-hmm. But they're, like, happy to do it, you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, like, it's excited. An honor.
It is an honor. Exactly. Oh, fucked movie. Like, literally, the whole... And it's... What's interesting, like you said, the light thing, but... This movie really isn't dark.
No, it's not. It's very, like, again, you don't ever feel threatened by the cult members, really, other than when they're killing people. But then once you realize, oh, it's not like it's killing for them. It's sacrificial.
Exactly. They don't take it lightly.
No, it's like a big deal.
It only happens once every 90 years.
Yeah, this is a big freaking deal here.
Also, the 90-year, they reference St. John the Baptist so much because the Midsummer tradition is actually real. That's a real mm-hmm. thing. Like, they really have maypoles. They really do the May dance. They do all that stuff. There's just no sacrificing. But it's a reference because the Midsummer ritual that, like, we have now, is it started as a pagan ritual, but then it combined with a holiday about St. John the Baptist.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what this is. And they reference St. John the Baptist a lot. The 9 people thing, the 90 days, the 90 years. John the Baptist, something about... I don't really know the Bible too well.
Yeah, me
either. Something about someone was pregnant for 90 days and somebody stayed with her for 90 days while she was pregnant. They also say his name a few times. They reference him a few times. The whole thing is so incredibly researched.
So well done. Every single part of it, it was just immaculate.
And I mean, this whole movie, like, the whole time it had my attention. The whole time I was on edge, just, like, sweating. I literally, at some points, felt physically ill.
Yes, I was.
From, like, what I was watching.
Yes.
I was, like, physically just sick to my stomach.
Oh, my God. The scene where he has his face on, where he has Mark's face on.
And when you see Mark's body go into the tent.
Yes.
And he's stuffed with hay.
Oh.
It's very graphic. It's very...
They don't leave anything to the imagination.
This movie actually originally was almost 4 hours long before it was edited.
Wow.
It was NC-17. A24 cut so much stuff to make it rated R. And there's going to be a director's cut coming out. They're working on it right now. That will have at least an additional 30 minutes of footage, including a scene that Ari Aster says he compares to the Hereditary dinner scene. He said he thinks it's that important, and he said they had to cut it out, but he said it took them forever to decide whether or not to cut it out. He said it's as intense as the Hereditary dinner scene, and it's a fight. Apparently, it's a fight between Christian and Danny. It's the only time they ever,
like fight. Yeah. I am so excited.
I know.
Oh, my God. I'm going to buy that.
I know, like, me too.
Immediately.
I know. And watch it.
And watch immediately.
I'm literally so excited. And I really want to see, like, what the fuck did they, like, what?
What did they cut out?
What did they cut to make it rated R? Because this bitch has cursing, full frontal nudity, some of the most graphic, like violence gore. I've seen ever.
Yeah, just dead bodies galore.
Dead bodies galore.
Like
penises, vaginas,
everything.
Boobs, anything you could imagine. But it's all done tastefully.
It is, all of it. It's not, I never felt like it was gratuitous.
No.
Everything was good.
And yeah, the plot is predictable, but you know what? That's not why I like it.
Yeah.
I like, and also I just really like character-driven things. I do like, obviously I like good plots, but to me, I think I value character development mm-hmm. more than I value a fast-paced plot.
And this has so much dense character development. Mm-hmm. It's so impressive. Like, everyone.
I would much rather have complex characters in a simple plot than a complex plot and simple characters.
Yeah, to me. I agree.
Like, for me, like, complex plots, simple characters are like superhero movies.
Yeah.
Like, super complex plots, super well thought out, so much thought goes into them. But for me, it's like the characters
fall flat.
They fall flat. I mean, they, and it's like, it's so many movies. You should fall up. You should be up.
But yeah.
Also, I don't like where I have to watch multiple movies to get to know, to get to see your character development, I guess.
True.
I'm not a huge, like, I like things to be done. You know what I mean? I like them.
This movie does get done. It gets it done.
It gets it done. It's not going to have a sequel. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Also, apparently Ari Aster, this is going to run really long. Sorry, everyone. Apparently Ari Aster wants to do a comedy next. He wants to go away from horror for a minute and maybe do, he said the next one will probably be like a dark comedy or it will be a melodrama.
Well, those will be so fun. I have complete faith in him. And
me
I
too.
Think and that no matter what he makes, it's going
to
be great.
But he said in an interview I read that he'll probably always come back to horror because
yes.
he has like so much respect for the genre. And honestly, he does it amazing.
He is one of my favorite horror movie directors of all time.
I know.
100%. He's incredible. He's made two movies and I'm already just in love with both of his pictures.
He literally is like for me, just like revolutionized
yes.
horror.
Yes.
There was a quote Jane and I saw when we were coming back from seeing the movie. And it said, anybody can make you afraid of the dark, but Ari Aster makes you afraid of the light.
Whew.
And I was like, that's so true.
He's amazing.
He is. And you would never know it. He looks like a little, like, Jewish boy.
I know. He's so unassuming.
He is unassuming.
So cute.
All right.
Review time.
Yep.
Is this a good or a bad?
It's a bad one.
I want to see how dense this person is.
He gives it a 1 out of 10.
Okay.
Calls it a pretentious, highfalutin snooze fest. Why, oh, why does IMDb not have an option to give 0 stars? I was beyond excited to see this movie. I waited for each preview trailer, bought midnight premiere tickets, couldn't wait to see it. I enjoyed Hereditary, but I thought the ending was terrible. I should have taken that as a hint. So they didn't like the ending of Hereditary.
So they didn't like the cult part of Hereditary, so they went to see a cult movie.
Yeah. Hereditary is also kind of folky at the end.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Well, I'd say it goes from like a family horror to like a folk horror.
I agree.
Is straight up folk horror all the way through. But also, this is so cool. When we went to the Alamo Drafthouse, they had a little introduction video.
To folk horror.
To folk horror, where they like gave you examples and told you like what the main characteristics of folk horror are so you understood like what you were about to see.
It was so great.
I love the Alamo Drafthouse.
Me
I want
to
open a movie theater. This movie was horrible. Just horrible. It was like watching paint dry. It was way too long, the acting is an abomination, and no matter how good the cinematography is, it cannot possibly make up for the ludicrous mess of a film I saw. I just want to say, I feel like even if you hated this plot, you cannot deny that the acting is amazing. On
yeah,
everyone's part.
Everyone is phenomenal, especially Danny. Like, she's amazing.
Yes. Do not listen to the critic reviews or headlines. This movie is not scary, and it's certainly not suspenseful, because there's no climax to lead up to. There's no climax.
There's
Are
no
you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
Did
we
you
watch
see the
a,
movie?
Did we watch a sex scene for 3 minutes where he was drugged and forced to have sex in front of people while she saw and then screamed and then we put him in a bear costume and burned him alive?
Is that not climactic
enough for
you? Is
that not
enough
for you? What do you want? What's worse, the ending smacks of repeat from Aster's previous film. He's a one-trick pony, and this film seals the deal. His second film.
It seals the deal?
For you? Okay. I didn't care about any of the characters, despite unresolved and totally unexplained backstory. How much backstory do you need?
Yeah.
They're anthropology majors. That's why they're going.
Christian's a jerk. Danny's family was murdered. It's very sad.
Also, they say, like, on their relationship, they just say, like, you've been wanting to break up there for a year. You don't like her. Why not just do it? That's pretty much all I needed.
Yeah. They've been together for 4 years. He's been wanting to break up with her for a year.
Yeah. They are complete idiots for staying for the entire pagan festival. Well, some of them try to leave, and guess what happens?
They die.
They don't get to go either.
And also, they're all on shrooms.
Yeah, also, they're anthropology majors.
And in the middle of nowhere.
For them.
Yeah, they're doing their dissertations. What?
Literally, and also for them, it's like, this is
what they want to do.
And also, all they've done the entire, what, they've probably been in school for almost like 8 years now.
Yes.
Maybe more. And all they've done is study how other cultures are different from yours, and you need to respect them and learn about them. So the minute they're faced with a different culture, you think they're just going to run away like little babies?
Yeah.
That's literally what their whole major is.
That's what they want to do with their lives.
All they
want to
do is study other cultures, despite how scary they may seem. White people. Each activity, each scene is based on drugs. Well, that's not true. And why would anyone do drugs while isolated in a village that seems to glorify death? First of all, we don't know that they glorify death the first time we do drugs.
Second of all, you're supposed to respect the culture and accept things that they give you.
Tons of cultures use drugs in their culture.
Tons. Have you seen Hamilton's Pharmacopoeia? It's so good.
Well, think about, like, peyote and shit.
Yeah, like, it's cultural, dude.
It's cultural to use, like, hallucinogens.
Hallucinogens, yes.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
The entire premise of the movie is predicated on an event that, had it not happened, none of the ensuing events would have ever taken place. Is this a yearly festival, or is it every 90 years? I remember being confused about that during the movie, but I have since confirmed it is every 90 years.
Yes.
It is every 90 years. There were sure an awful lot of pictures of May Queens. The plot holes are endless. Well, how old is this cult? We really don't know, do we?
Yeah, we really don't know.
Out-of-place movie references. Apparently, this electricity-free village has TV and access to movies from the 90s.
What?
I don't really remember any of the movie references that they made in the film.
I think they made an Austin Powers reference.
Oh.
Maybe.
Also, cults do have stuff. A lot of times they just get
also,
late.
They send their people out into the world, like, during their summer season of life.
Specifically to learn about the world and bring back people.
Yeah.
Rituals and games that made no sense and are never explained. Well, they're based on real rituals, you bitch.
So
also, they don't need to be explained. The whole idea is to make it feel like culty.
Yeah, and like, ritualist. What's more unexplainable than a cult?
Literally. Characters standing around in silence for no reason with bizarre looks on their faces. Gross. Okay. Gross shots of old naked people. Well, I cannot argue with that, but I'm not sure it's the reason to hate it. I feel like
it was necessary.
It's justified. Stupid jokes that made no one in the theater laugh. In fact, the entire audience was laughing at parts of the film that were supposed to be serious moments.
Because it was nervous laughter.
It's nervous laughter, my friend. This is usually an indication that the film director has failed miserably.
I think Ari Aster has a really good grasp on the balance between comedy and horror.
I think so, too.
And they often go hand in hand.
Yeah. I mean, Jordan Peele, my friend.
Jordan Peele.
So many missed opportunities for a good horror film that were totally abandoned. And don't give me that garbage that the movie was supposed to be some sort of metaphor for a failed relationship. It was. That just insults the intelligence of everyone who views the unfortunate mistake of viewing this film. This movie was a waste of time, money, and my intellect. I would rather have stayed home and played with my dog, or cleaned my bathroom, or bashed my head against the wall. Really anything besides see this movie.
Well. Okay.
I disagree. Respectfully disagree. It was supposed to be a metaphor for a failed relationship. I don't know what you want. That's literally what Ari Aster said it was.
Yeah, he went through a bad breakup, and that's what this is. It's about going through a breakup.
And how that feels.
Yeah. And how you just want to burn down that part of your life after you're done with it.
Exactly. You just want to move on and forget it. And kill all your darlings, right?
Yeah.
So, Jane, what do you give it?
Oh, 9 out of 10. 10 out of 10.
I give it a 10 out of 10.
10 out of 10, man.
Loved it.
Loved it. Perfect.
Loved
Perfect
it.
Movie.
Literally have never felt more physically ill in a theater.
Yeah, it was amazing.
And I saw Hereditary.
Yeah.
In the theaters, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Such an experience.
Cultural experience.
Truly.
It was great.
Truly.
I'm so glad we'll get to be able to say that we went to see Midsommar on opening night.
I know. Huh. And we almost peed our pants.
We did. It was so good.
So good. Okay.
All right.
What's up? Okay, we still have our contest going.
Yes, check our Facebook and Instagrams.
Yep, for deets.
Deets.
If you, and just I want to clarify something, because I think some people have been leaving iTunes reviews to enter the contest, but they have only been leaving stars. If you want to leave an, if you want to be entered into the contest by leaving an iTunes review, you have to leave a written comment.
Yes.
It's going to come up as optional when you leave the star review. It's going to like option leave a comment. You have to leave a comment because that's the only way we know who you are.
Yeah, we don't know. We'll just see a star. Like, we don't know. We won't be able to give you an award.
Yeah, we can't see who left the stars. So if you want to be entered for a second time into that drawing, you need to do that. Also, the Facebook post, you just need to like, share, and comment on the post with the contest details, and you'll be entered to win, and we're drawing in, I think, 2 weeks.
Yep.
So.
Wow, August is so close.
I know.
Wow.
That means it's almost school time for you guys.
Yeah. I'm excited. Ooh. All right, guys.
All right, that's it, I think.
Thank you guys so much.
Yeah.
Bye. Bye.